This is a show in season three. If you didn't know, we included the
Dean,
Wiggler, and Jess here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about Community Season 3, Episode 20, Digital Estate Planning. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wiggler, brought to you in 32 bits by Post Show Recaps. Here to play the game alongside me this week, it is somebody who always knows how to mix a strength potion together, Jess Sterling.
That's me, here just slaying people, drinking potions, winning games. You know how I do.
I was so hyped because I was like, oh yeah, so this is gonna be an easy five for Britta this week. She's the only one who knows how to play the game. She makes the strength potion, she's gonna save everybody, and then yeah, it's just a death potion.
Of course it is. Continuing the trend of Britta-ing everything, but in a glorious fashion, right? Like, she's intelligent in ways that, like, you wouldn't expect. She's straightening a painting and just, you know, she just reveals secret rooms. Yeah. Britta's still killing it for me. Loving Britta.
Well, she's doing great. Everybody's doing great on the show. We're doing especially great because we have a very special guest to join us here on Community Building this week. Joining us in the podcasting chairs, and we cannot leave the chairs for more than what, 30 seconds?
30 seconds or everyone dies. 30
seconds or else we forfeit the podcast. Long time coming, Cody Patterson, come on in.
Thank you, guys. I'm so excited to be here. I want to welcome you all to my competition to battle it out for the rightful heir of Post Show Recaps.
Oh, my God. I didn't know the throne was up for grabs. Oh, geez. Now I'm nervous.
I'm very competitive.
I know you are. I know you are. Jess, honestly, I'm going to get out of my chair for the next 30 seconds. Frankly, take it, Jess.
Yeah,
you can have it. Cody, psyched to have you on here. We've been talking about getting you on Community Building for a minute now. Was this an episode you had on your radar as one that you would specifically want to talk about?
I think it was one that was on my list, and then when Jess said, hey, we're gonna have to bump you a little bit, do you want to do this one? And I was like, yes,
yeah,
that's the one I want to do. That's right up my alley.
So Cody, tell the people who you are, what you're all about, where they can find you, all that good stuff before we start pushing in a community building this week.
Absolutely. So I am a podcast host over on the podcast AGT Time, where we cover America's Got Talent.
Ooh.
That's all we cover is the talent show America's Got Talent. So we just wrapped up season 17. We're going to be going.
How many seasons AGT?
We just finished season 17. So 17.
17 and total. Okay.
17 total. They've had a couple of special, like they've had a holiday episode. Then they did like an extreme. They've done a couple of champions episodes. So maybe like, I don't know, 20 total things, seasons, if you want to consider that. But what we consider AGT proper, 17 of them every summer.
Yeah.
So we're getting ready to go back and continue our rewatch of season 4 that we started back in the spring. But yeah, that's what we do over there. Jay, my co-host Jay over there.
Who among the Greendale 7 would be likeliest to win Greendale's Got Talent?
I think it's probably going to be either Annie or Abed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see Abed having one of those like very out of the box, interesting acts that people are fascinated by for sure.
Yeah. So Jess, would Abed be one that would swallow things and then regurgitate them?
Yeah, I could see him doing that. I could see him also doing something very creative like that sand artist a while back, something like that.
Yep.
Shirley would be a really good singer. I think she's in the running for sure.
Are we like completely just, is it because like, I don't know, he's Childish Gambino. Are we just overlooking Troy completely?
Well, that's Donald Glover. More
but like, doesn't some of that translate to Troy every now and then?
For the Christmas one, I guess. Yeah. Yes. So Troy'd be in the running. Pierce would be the one that would like go out and immediately get X'd and then be like kicked off the show.
Yeah, he would be on for do you get like how much time do you get before they just decide to throw you off the stage? Is there like a limit?
No, there's no limit. I mean, it's some it's happened almost immediately. Sometimes they let them go through almost a full set. They get about 3 minutes to audition, so anywhere within that time range you can get between your one and four X's. You hit four X's, you're done for the show.
Yeah. Try listening to this podcast on 4X and you could win Greendale's Got Talent.
Don't do that.
We'd love to hear the report back on how that ends up going. So we're talking about digital estate planning. We are barreling towards the end of season three. This episode is one that I had seen before during our pre-community building season, our season zero, our test piloting of it. Is this going to be a thing that we're going to do? So I've seen this one. I'm to understand, Jess, it is a slightly controversial episode, or is it like widely beloved?
I would say it's mostly widely beloved. Uh-huh. I think a lot of questions come into play as to like, its location in the season, because it seems to fall in like this really weird place where it kind of takes you out of the overall story arc, right? Like, okay, they've been expelled. They're trying to figure out what Chang has been doing and the whole doppelganger situation. But we're completely sidestepping that main storyline to go through this. And so I guess some people question, like, why is it placed here?
Yeah.
I know some people question, like, are we supposed to enjoy Pierce again? Some people, like, tend to have a problem with that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I really love this episode. I think, like, it fits right in with a lot of the season two genre-based episodes. I really, really love it. So I don't necessarily understand some of the criticism towards it.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't say it's, like, controversial. I just think some people aren't a four, some people are more like a 3.5, so people still like it, just not as much as I thought they did.
Cody, talk me through your feelings on digital estate planning, not really the practice so much as the episode.
So this is I feel a really good executed episode. It brings all of the characters together. They have to co-op and work together in order to accomplish something. I feel that they all really stepped up during this episode. I really, really enjoyed it. I like the 8-bit. I like the creativity. You know, I'm really a sucker for a show where they step outside of their norm. You know, like this episode or like Abed's Christmas, they do something completely different. That's just something I really, really enjoy.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed this episode more the first time than I did the second time. So I'll be that guy who says that. Not that I didn't enjoy this. There was so much in here that I really definitely enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this one actually played better for me when it was unstuck in time. When it wasn't, you know, tethered to the story of Community. Because it does feel like we're in an arc right now. Everybody's been expelled. They're at a school. And now all of a sudden, like, the stakes of that, especially as they've just left and, like, the dean's been kidnapped. We got to go save the dean. Suddenly, we're dealing with Pierce's dead dad again. And, like, there's a video game to play in order to win his money. Just feels, like, really oddly placed. And I don't know if you can tell me if there's, like, is there a post-production reason why?
Yeah, so let me give you a little bit of background here. I'm going to read some feedback we got from Eric Divestein just because it really does touch on this. He says it's difficult for him to not look at this episode through the lens of how it first aired. So after season three went on a mid-season hiatus, the show looked like it was going to be canceled yet again, very common story for Community. And then it returned as an afterthought. And so they get to the end of the season and NBC decided to air these final three episodes all on the same night to kind of get it over with. Right.
Okay.
And he says it was a sad time. It looked like this would be the end of the series. However, I remember on that night as the best night of Community in my life, three new episodes at once that had never happened before. And they kick it off with the surprising wild concept episode that was absolutely hilarious. I have so much love and nostalgia for what seemed like a last hurrah for this special show. So it's interesting because the final two episodes, the first Chang Dynasty and Introduction to Finality, those two,
they pair really, together, right?
They pair well together. Whereas digital estate planning certainly is the outlier in those three. It doesn't really connect to the main story. It's a like Eric talks about, a concept episode. So it's interesting that they all aired simultaneously, like on the same night, or not simultaneously, you know, back to back on the same night.
NBC because it had does given up. They just dumped it.
Basically, yeah. Okay. And I think probably some of that speaks to the behind the scenes issues, which I know we originally did talk about on the patron only podcast, but we'll reiterate here. Like, there'd been tension between Dan Harmon and Chevy Chase, a lot of onset tension and fighting, and Chevy Chase also, like, from the cast had issues, like, interacting with the whole cast. And so a particular moment in this episode caused a huge fight between Dan Harmon and Chevy Chase, which eventually
in this episode.
Yeah. And we'll get to it because it's the very, very end of the episode. But it basically resulted in eventually Dan Harmon's dismissal from the show. He was not involved in season four at all. Kind of, you know, starting at this, like, a catalyst was this episode, basically.
Got it. Interesting. Cody, were you watching Community live as it was airing, or is this a show you've gone back to?
Well, I mean, I have revisited now, but it's a show that I did watch. I watched the first three seasons as they were on. I think I did not watch 4 and 5 when it aired, but I did, I think, revisit it during streaming. And then I did watch the final season on Yahoo stream.
On Yahoo, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting that the three of these played in a single night. So that's like an hour and a half block of TV. Yeah. I guess that if you were there in, like, the stakes of the moment, I could really get on board with that. That being said, I do think for me, just on the week to week, and having, like, the time in between episodes and where this is, it feels like, you know how I was with Down the Hatch. If you listen to Down the Hatch, yeah. I felt like there was a better order to certain things, which is an arrogant position to have. But I would maybe, like, chop digital estate planning out of this moment and put it somewhere else.
I would too. I think I would actually put it to right before the Doppeldiener situation happens. I think you can lift this one up.
Like, even
and move
digital
it.
Estate planning sounds like a class, right? You know, so, like, it has, like, the episode title structure that so much of the rest of the show has when they're in school. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's my big issue. It just kind of took me out of some momentum as its own entity. I thought the episode was super, super fun. I love the gimmick. I love the idea of just, like, watching them all play as video game characters. Everyone looks ridiculous, and I love how they all complain about it. So it's like, who decided on these body types? You know, it's very good stuff. Very funny. Yeah.
I think it's a great concept episode. And for me, that's why it doesn't, again, like, Josh, like, very much like you say a lot on Down the Hatch, it, like, for me, this is a vibes episode.
Sure, totally.
And, like, even if it does have faults, and it certainly does, a lot of Community episodes do, I forgive those faults because I love it so much that, like, for me, and a spoiler alert, like, full four for me, I love this episode so much that even though there are, like, nits I could pick, I just feel like it's worthy of the four regardless.
Shall we pick the nits of Community season 3 episode 20, Digital Estate Planning, which aired, I guess, as the first of three episodes on May 17th 2012? If I had known that, maybe we would have done all three today. We would have just barreled through them
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Should we just call an audible and put a pin in this and just go and watch them all and just come back here?
No.
I don't have time for that. No one
neither
has time
do
for
that. I.
No one has time for that.
I got all evening.
Cody's got all evening. written by Dan Harmon and Matt Warburton, directed by Adam Davidson, May 17th, 2012. And we begin in this warehouse where everyone has been summoned, or I guess Pierce has been summoned, and he is bringing his 7 closest friends, but he only has the 6.
Yeah, LeVar Burton was a maybe.
Yeah, LeVar Burton was thinking about it, but he couldn't make it.
Gilbert's already there. And again, like, we get right off the bat this, like, tension where Pierce is like, oh, even from my father's grave, he's got you by the short and curly salt and pepperies.
Mm-hmm. Gilbert, Giancarlo Esposito, Gus Spring of the Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul universe. Jess, I know you're a Better Call Saul person. Cody, are you a Better Call Saul at all?
Absolutely. I watched Breaking Bad when it was on. I watched all of the Better Call Saul, knowing from Sidney Glass on Once Upon a Time. Also, he is the villain in one of my favorite games, Far Cry 6.
Ooh, okay.
Also, ironically, Michael Mando was the villain in Far Cry 3.
This I knew, because I know that people love him from that game.
Yeah,
And, like, I remember some interviews with him relatively recently of, like, what about your Far Cry character versus Nacho Varga? Who'd win in a fight? And Michael Mann was always like, I love Nacho, but come on. Yeah. Wouldn't be fair. Never did the Far Cry. Would like to do the Far Cry someday. The erstwhile Gus Fring, he's Gilbert now, and he was Pierce's dad's assistant for a very long time.
Right,
and he
30 has years.
One final task for the squad.
Yeah, and he says, listen, your father left you something. It's more of an activity. So we find out Pierce had asked his father to invest in video games back in 1979, and his father spent 30 years developing a video game for Pierce. So everybody sits down, a photograph is taken of them, and an avatar is made in their likeness, which Troy gets a wonderful joke.
Avatar is so trendy right now.
Yeah.
Can't stop talking about Avatar. Are you both going to go back to Pandora when Avatar 2 hits theaters in December of 2022?
I may visit Pandora once it's on a streaming service.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm going to go see it. I feel like it's a cultural moment. You know, the only thing I'm a little bit nervous, I'm like, I'm going to have to take a bathroom break. Like, it's going to be long, right? It's gonna be
Isn't there a website that's like, this is where you take your bathroom breaks?
Yep. There is.
There's an app that does that, tells you. Yep.
Yeah. So I'll have to do that.
Yeah, do that.
But he spent 30 years developing this video game. Everybody sits down. They get a nice photo taken of them. And then we get the 8-bit version of the theme song.
I like this. This is fun.
Yes.
I love when they change the theme song up and do like fun things with it. It just adds that extra bit of like flavor on the show. And I loved this. I thought it was wonderful.
Eight bits of flavor this time.
Yeah.
I'm watching the show Psych and they do that as well because they'll do references of pop culture. So they'll do their theme song in various formats as well. Yeah. I think it's a lot of fun.
It's like that extra step, you know?
Yeah.
So they all arrive in like the 8-bit study room together. Shirley's of course upset at how
they're
all
looks. Now video game characters, which I mean, one other thing that I guess is kind of weird to me is like, it feels a little arbitrary. Like, would Pierce's dad really be the guy who's like, I've spent all of this time designing a video game? He didn't really seem like the guy who, this is a fairly complicated video game.
I just imagined that he kind of had his people working on it. And like, he would give like, oh, make sure you have this, make sure you add that. And
Pierce
they would come back.
Hawthorne is so out of touch, and I have to imagine the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And so what? I'm supposed to believe that Pierce Hawthorne's dad would be a big, super genius video game man? I don't know.
Well, Cody, that's why this is in 8-bit. It's
right.
not, you know.
Yeah, they spent more time on like the back end and all the in-depth stuff and not on the graphics.
Yeah.
No, they didn't, but it's like one of those like Super Nintendo looking games that's actually made for the Nintendo Switch. You know, like there's a complexity.
It's like Stardew Valley complexity.
There's a complexity
levels.
To the gameplay that like, you know, only comes from somebody who like,
but
you know, has a real know-how
like
of the art form.
Cornelius is so rich. Like, he could hire anybody to work on this. And 30 years, you're going to spend 30 years on something? It's bound to be super complicated.
Well, also then I had for 30 years, could have done better.
Yeah,
than
it's like they started with the graphics back in the 80s and then built everything
else
behind
it. At least they got the boing noises, right? You know, I love the boing noises. So Britta asks who everyone is because I'm not racist. They figure out how to jump. Abed finds a door. And so they walk out and there's a quote unquote hippie yelling peace and love. And then he starts saying sex and drugs and then attacks Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff tries to kill the hippie, but accidentally kills Annie. And then they all end up killing Jeff.
Yeah, but they're all like, we got to watch the hippie kill Jeff. We need to learn its movement patterns. We got to study it. Jeff does not like that.
No, he's pissed off about this. And Pierce, meanwhile, is still stuck in the corner moving left because he doesn't understand. You have to move your joystick to the right to move right on the screen. It doesn't make sense to him.
No.
So they walk back in and Troy, Shirley and Abed have all killed the hippies. Gilbert joins them and we see him just like annihilate this hippie like instantaneously.
Cody, do we think that Gilbert has done nothing but like study this game for the past 30 years? Has he been waiting for this moment his entire life?
Yeah, I think he was actually one of the developers as well. He said he hid his developers away and they sent him back to China, but I think that he was one of them and he designed it. But yes, he knows all the codes, he knows all the hidden secrets. He was definitely involved in this.
He's in the Matrix.
He's in the Matrix. In. That's right.
Yeah. He's the one. He's the one. So he kills the hippie, and we hear a little bit more about the concept of the game.
Yeah, this is Hawthorne. So in 1980, like Pierce had said, video games were the future. But today, moist towelettes are stocked in every supermarket. Arcade after arcade closes. And so his dad said, only one person can win. So the first person to reach the throne wins Pierce's inheritance. And then he says, worst son ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he might not be wrong. Video game industry, by the way, is like a booming business.
Yeah,
so,
and I think the arcade is making a comeback in a different form, but the arcade itself is making a comeback.
Yeah, I went digital to an arcade this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're honestly much better than they used to be, because you don't have to worry about pesky tickets. You don't have to worry about pesky tokens. You just get a little card, you do a little swipey and you play some games. It's great.
Yeah, remember when you had to have the right amount of coins and you're like, hey, my pocket is so full.
Yes, and you always had to carry the tickets around, and like, what if someone stole your tickets? That's not good.
Yeah, there's a lot going on back in the day.
There is something to say about putting the quarter up on the machine to say, hey, I'm up next.
Totally, yeah. That's definitely a move, or was a move. I don't think that that's really a thing you can do anywhere anymore. We were just like, step aside, Junior. You put a coin down, I'm up next. They're like,
No, you just awkwardly stand behind them until they're done.
Yeah.
Very passive-aggressive nowadays.
Yes.
So Pierce tries to fight everyone, because he's thinking they're going to try to steal his inheritance, but instead he's digging a hole and they're all like, we're not going to fight you, Pierce. There's not a lot of sport in beating you. Look at you right now.
Yeah.
And this is when Gilbert comes and he's like, you're not supposed to cooperate. You're supposed to compete. And he makes throwing knives and he starts shooting them all.
You see him like menuing really hard. He's got like his heads up display going and he has like all of these weapons he's creating on the fly or pulling on the fly. He just has the moves. He's like going to speed run this thing.
Yeah. He's definitely got all his hotkeys set up. All set up.
Yep. Yeah. He's ready to go. So he gets everybody killed. He closes the hole Pierce is in. This game has such an intelligent design that it knows how like their characters need to breathe.
Yeah,
in
you
order
run out of air.
To live, and that you could like be trapped underground and that will destroy your air supply. Again, it's very sophisticated stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And I'd like to play this game.
So everyone's dead outside of the game. Jeff is like, we're not going to let you screw Pierce over. But Gilbert says, if you get out of the chair, the weight sensors are going to recognize it as a forfeit in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so they finally get back to where Gilbert left off. And he left a note for them in the game. After you've squandered the last of your savings, I'll watch you writhe penniless in the gutter through a telescope in the penthouse office of Hawthorne Tower.
Wow, that's so psychotic.
Yeah. Pierce tries to close himself in a hole.
Yeah, I'm just going to end it. This isn't worth it.
Yeah, and Britta's like, don't worry, we outnumber him. We're fighting for friendship. And again, an elite Britta moment is when she tries to give Pierce a hug and she kills him.
Yeah, oops, I guess there isn't a hug button. Yeah.
This is classic Britta, Cody, where like she would think that there's a hug button in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's almost like she thinks that she's doing something nice, but it totally backfired. She totally Britta'd it even in the video game. Even the virtual world.
I will say I did play a video game recently where there was a hug button. So
which game was this?
It was called Spiritfarer. It's on Nintendo Switch. Only play this game if you are like prepared to feel some emotions, because it's like a very, very intense game for like you're gonna feel a lot of sadness, but it's really, really good. And you have a little cat that follows you around. You can give him a little hug.
Aww.
And you can give all your little spirits that you're farrowing hugs too. It's very, very cute. I highly recommend this game.
Okay, good rec.
I actually completed it, which I can't say for a lot of games. I lose interest, but I did complete the game.
The game that I played to completion recently was called Inside, which is another side-scrolling video game that you could play on the Nintendo Switch. You should also be prepared to feel feelings when you play that one. You do not hug people.
Good to know.
Did they have to start back at the beginning all the time?
You do not hug people. The scary, terrifying rabid dogs, they hug you.
Oh no.
It is horrifying.
That sounds terrible.
It is horrifying. The scary, dark, incendiary mermen, they hug you as well.
Ooh.
It's a scary game. The lightning bolts on the bridge. Oh god, the bridge. Very good game. Really, really great game. Shout out to Antonio for recommending it. And Stuart also got me on the track for this game. Very good game.
Awesome.
Inside. I think I'm late to it. I think it's been out for like two or
three. Yeah, I've heard of that game. It's
very good. Very, very good. Very, very good.
So everybody's trying to keep Pierce safe. They all arrive at a town and they run into Hilda. And Abed immediately starts talking to her. And she knows just like everything. He's so intrigued. She says, the throne is in Castle Hawkthorn, north of here. You can unlock the castle with the white crystal of discipline, which you must free from the black caverns.
Yeah.
And Shirley's like, I am recognizing a theme here.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly enough.
Yeah, so they split the party. Always a wise decision.
Yeah.
And so everybody's going to go off and do a couple of different things. Abed is going to stay with Hilda. Right? Because they're going to just begin to develop their relationship with one another. Annie and Shirley will go to the blacksmith where they don't have enough money to buy anything cool. So Annie takes a torch, but she's being a thief. And then she doesn't
realize, Cody, that like if you pick something up, the blacksmith is going to call you a thief. And then she's like, OK, I'll put it down. But she throws it
at him.
Yeah, it
sets him on fire.
It's amazing the button combinations that they're able to figure out in order to how to do these things. It's totally intricate.
Yeah.
Also, this is among the least video gamey moments in the episode, I think, because if this were more accurate to a real video game, the blacksmith wouldn't give a crap if you just took stuff from the store no one in these games, you can. In like the Ocarina of Time, you just go all through the village in the first level and you just stay open up all the pots and you throw them around. You're breaking shit in people's homes, and then you talk to them, they're like, hey, what's up, Link? You know, like nothing happened.
They don't care.
But
it leave it to Annie to be the one to burn the blacksmith and then immediately grab an axe and kill him. And she's like, He was suffering.
Yeah. I think that was kind.
How many of us are always trying to attack the NPCs any chance that we get?
Yes, we all do it. I thought you were going to say, who among us hasn't executed the blacksmith while he was on fire? He was suffering.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Pierce and Troy, they go to a casino. They're going to learn to play poker.
I just love Troy's just constantly jumping up and down, which is exactly the way to play it.
I do that all the time.
Yes.
The fastest way to get from A to B is what I want to do.
Yeah.
Britta and Jeff go in a building and Britta's like, oh, how do I straighten this painting? And Jeff accuses her of playing like a girl.
Playing like a girl? Here's the thing about women, Jeff. We don't hack and slash our way through life because we are one with life.
Such a Britta statement. So just as she fixes the painting and it opens a secret door. Meanwhile, Annie's trying to hide the body of the blacksmith. And she's like, this is what happens in video games, Shirley. So the blacksmith's wife comes downstairs and Shirley, no hesitation, kills her. No witnesses. Yeah. Grab everything you can. I'll check upstairs for any more family. Don't give me that look. These are your loose ends. I'm just tying them up.
Yeah, Shirley didn't cause this problem, Cody, but she's sure as hell going to fix it. She's going to finish this thing.
Yeah, that's right. She's the cleaner. She's the,
Yeah,
I love Shirley here. Duty.
Yeah,
one of my favorite combos is Annie and Shirley, and it does not disappoint in this episode. I think like they're when we split the party, they're my two to watch. They're the funniest combo. Just because, Cody, I think it's mainly because Annie and Shirley are the two like least likely to have played any video games, and so it feels like they would cause the most chaos when they do.
Yeah, they're just so random. I mean, I would guess hardly any of the group has played. Abed's probably most likely. Troy's probably played video games. I'd say Jeff has never played a video game.
Video games
right.
were losers.
That's
yeah.
right.
I feel
that's
like
right.
the only game Jeff yeah. Jeff feels like he would maybe participate in like a sports type game.
Yeah, I was gonna say
he would definitely play Madden.
He would do like a Dance Dance Revolution if it meant he had a chance with a hot girl. You know, like he would dance at the arcade.
Yeah,
would he be like a guitar hero? Would he play the guitar?
Yeah, if it was at the arcade, I think.
Yeah, I
think
I could see him maybe doing that.
Maybe, yeah.
But yeah, and so then we have Pierce and Troy come outside. They've lost all their clothes in poker. And we find out that Abed has developed a closeness with Hilda. It's like she only has three moves that you can activate with basic patterns of stimulus. I've never felt this way before. And we find out that she's the blacksmith's daughter, just as Shirley and Annie come out and they're like, we bought things, we have everything we need, and the whole building catches on fire.
Brutal. Just brutal.
Yeah, it's amazing that we see them carrying everything out, where typically in a game, like, all that stuff would go in like one little satchel.
Yeah, you would have it absorbed into your body.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it's not like it's not completely accurate to video games, of course, because they have to
they're making a TV show.
Yeah, they're making a TV show. You got to go with the mainstream audience that has no idea what's going on, right?
Yeah.
So Britta starts making potions. She's just like throwing things in the cauldron. She's just like, I assume it's some kind of strength potion. Jeff's like, it's probably poison. And he says, this place is 20 cat turds and a Pixies poster away from being your apartment.
Oh, wow.
So brutal.
20 cat turds is such a specific number.
I mean, I feel like Britta would have had 20 cats in her lifetime, but like not all at once.
20 turds at once? I don't know. Yeah. A lot of turd.
I had to go look up Pixies posters because I didn't remember this at all. And I looked it up and I still didn't. Yeah. I still didn't get it.
Is it the
Pixies
band?
Is the band.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That like she would be a fan of the Pixies. I don't know why we're dissing the Pixies.
Because
everybody
Jeff.
Loves Where Is My Mind. Even if you don't know that you love it, you do. You've heard it in so many things.
Jeff. You know, he's a hater. He only likes like very mainstream, like, oh, I just like men who play guitar kind of.
That is exactly what he would say.
He likes.
I just like men who play guitar.
That's exactly what he sounds like. So Hilda, they go back outside. Hilda is crying. And Abed's like, Hilda's parents lived there. Now she has no family. She'll be forced to marry a male villager or take her chances in the wilderness.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Before anyone has a chance to do anything about it, Gilbert just shows up and wrecks everybody. He's gained enough levels to shoot lightning out of his hands. Britta's going to use the strength potion to Hulk out, but it is poison, and she dies. But then Gilbert drinks it, and he dies. And so Jeff is like, hooray, we bet our lives on Britta, and we won.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, because Jeff is just like, oh, Britta, drink that strength potion. It's great. It's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
We see Gilbert. He's very frustrated. So we see him do some behind the scenes like coding stuff. I don't know exactly what he's doing, but
this is why Cody he's a programmer.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he knows all the codes. He knows all the scripts. My question is, why didn't he just do this from the beginning?
Because maybe he thought he could beat them fair and square.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Maybe he, like, if you're friends with Pierce, then you're probably terrible at life, and so I don't have to worry too hard about you. But after a certain point, I think, he must realize, okay, I gotta turn on the cheat codes.
Gotta get the cheat codes, that's right.
This is like when you're playing Sims, and you're just like, okay, gotta do, like, motherload, like, give myself all sorts of money.
Yeah. Gotta turn on the Konami code, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
They're heading to the Black Caves. Abed's going to stay with Hilda, help her rebuild her life. So they go up to the village forest through the Valley of Laziness, which again, a lot of like racist stuff happening here.
Yes.
Of course, there's like a lot of tacos everywhere. Then there's Gay Island. Then there's like a wheelchair that's a fairy. And then they get to the Black Caverns, killing a bunch of turkeys. They get the White Crystal. And Pierce is like, I've earned it by having friends.
Mm-hmm. But Gilbert shows up. He wants the crystal now. He has all of the cheats. And he uses all the cheats to kill everybody, basically.
Yeah, and Jeff's very upset by this. He says, you're cheating, which I have no problem with, but you're getting caught. And that's not cool.
That you're getting caught. That's what's not cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Cody, we know Jeff's a cheater by trade, right?
Right. I mean, he's done all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm not going to remember a lot of the stuff that he's done. But yeah, he's done a lot of stuff.
I mean, he said he was a lawyer for how long?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I'm not going to pull up my cheat codes, look up.
Yeah,
what all
you'd
Jeff's
have to menu
done.
Pretty hard to find the full inventory of cheats on Jeff's part. But this is where we learn that Gilbert is also that Gilbert is Pierce. This is the Darth Vader moment. Like, I am your half brother.
Yeah.
And so Pierce's nanny had a hot cousin who is Gilbert's mom.
And did Pierce you think at first it's going to be his nanny? It's like, do you remember your nanny? Well, she had a hot cousin.
Yeah. It's great.
And he says, I'm more your father's son than you ever were. So shut up and play the game.
Yeah.
So they all have to return to the game, obviously, within 30 seconds so they don't forfeit.
So they do.
And Jeff says, and so Jeff, of course, stands on the table, the digital table, and says, we're better at this game now.
Winger
we're
speech.
All heroes.
Yeah. Digital winger speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
they immediately
die.
Get killed by hippies.
Of course. Yeah, because they really are not that good at this game.
Yeah.
So Gilbert puts the crystal in its place and goes into the castle. And as the study group is going through the forest, they notice all the trees are cut down. And in the town where Hilda used to live is this massive castle made of gold. Turns out Abed has had lots of babies with Hilda. She can make babies for him. And Tris says, oh, and I can't. I can't. And all his babies say, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah. He has like figured out how to like, he has accessed the behind the scenes. He's backstage. Yeah. He knows how to make the game within the game now. So no surprise that Abed has done this. This will be reflected in my scores that Abed ultimately is the best at the game. So I don't know about America's Got Talent, Cody. But as far as what's it called? Hawthorne. Yeah. Hawthorne's Got Talent and the winner is Abed.
Yeah. He definitely knows how to, he's probably played The Sims a few times. He's got the fertility achievement turned on.
So he has all these babies that can help him. Mm-hmm. He's like, whatever you want, you know, whatever you wish.
Yeah, we can make anything.
We can make anything.
Yeah. So Gilbert makes it to the throne. His father recognizes him as Gilbert. And basically, in order to get the inheritance from Cornelius, he's going to have to sign something that says, I'm not your father. And he has to agree to it. And Gilbert says, no, he's not willing to do that. And this is when he runs into all the little baby Abeds. And we hear their father say, I see you've chosen teamwork, a coward's strategy. I will upgrade your challenge accordingly. I bequeath my fortunes to no inferiors. And he turns into like this giant rock monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's okay because Abed has, you know, he has all his babies to make all his toys for him. And we have like baby Abeds are getting shot onto the rock monster and like destroying it with pickaxes. We get the like Troy and Abed shooting lava, which is a fun moment. And Cody, we get a callback with Pierce saying, look at me now, Dad.
Yeah, it looks like he's just going all nuclear on everything. Like we're just tearing this thing down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So they get him into position and the Cornelius has given them the right to you've earned the pleasure of my death, I think is the line. And Gilbert doesn't feel like he's the one who can do it. But when he looks up in reality, all of the Greendale Seven have forfeited the game. They've gotten out of their chairs. Pierce says, you are more his son than me. You took all his crap and you didn't even get to take his name. You've been playing this game your whole life. It's time for your reward, brother. Get in there and kill our dad. And then he gives him a gun.
Yeah. And Annie's like, do you have that on you all the time? And I think he says, not when I shower.
Not when I shower. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only time he
doesn't
have
Pierce has had a gun on him this entire show is what I'm to take.
Apparently.
Did he put it in his cast?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was definitely in there. Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, you don't understand how video games work. But Gilbert in the game kicks Cornelius in the face and sits on the throne. And he thanks them all in real life. So he's won the game. He says, you know what? Family makes you a little crazy. And this is when am I dumb, Josh? What is this joke? Where Troy says, I understand. I have an uncle who makes his own pizza.
I don't know that I got this.
Okay. I was like, is this a joke? I don't get it. Is it like, are you not supposed to make your own pizza?
Family makes you crazy. I have an uncle who makes his own pizza.
Does he make the Chef Boyardee pizzas?
Maybe. Ooh. Yeah. I have an uncle who makes his own pizza.
You're Googling this joke. think it's going to help?
Yeah. Could someone, this was posted on Reddit. Could someone explain this joke?
Someone on Reddit had the same question as me. Look at that.
Apparently the joke is that it's not that weird.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's what I thought. All right.
It really isn't that crazy, but it's not worth explaining to Troy because it's really minor. Thank you, BlueShirt21 on Reddit for the answer.
Blue shirt.
Yes.
So Gilbert says, let's go to a bar. They have this specialty margarita. It's served in a glass an entire yard long.
Gross.
How do you clean that?
With a yardstick.
Yeah, a very large sprayer.
Yeah.
You're not getting in all the crevices. You're not getting in all the nooks and crannies. There's gunk buildup.
Probably.
There's not that many crevices. It's just a glass that's tall and it's just a yard tall. Got to be.
Yeah. Oh, it's a yard tall, but I thought it was long, so like you can have multiple people drinking out of it.
No. It's you've not seen the yard of margarita?
Yeah.
It's basically just one tall glass of margarita that's just a yard tall.
Yeah,
I don't understand these gimmicky drinks.
This is very spring break.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I did spring break. You know.
Yeah, me neither. But I saw movies about it.
That's fair. Me too.
Not including Spring Breakers, apparently, though. I didn't see that one.
I've like experienced the like fishbowl. You know, I've had that. There's like the boot, obviously. I've never had a yard long drink.
Das Boot. Yeah.
Yeah, Das Boot. Pierce is so excited to have a brother. They like do a little cute hug and they walk out together. Pierce asks him something that's super racist as always.
Yep.
Ovid runs back in. He pretends to be like tying his shoe and he uses a flash drive to copy over Hilda. He says, I told you I'd come back for you.
Do we ever see Hilda again or no?
No.
That's it.
And then we get to the end scene. So I'm going to tell you what the actual end credit scene was, and then I'm going to tell you what it should have been, and you tell me which you like more.
Okay, wait. So the end tag, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. End I tag, think I am, again, deja vu, where I'm sure we went over this in season zero, but I have no memory of it. Yes.
Great. Okay. So In the one that aired, Troy and Ovid find a baby in the study room. They talk about like Ovid getting double shifts to take care of the baby. And Troy says, oh, I see. While you're off climbing the ladder at Beans and More, I'll stay home and raise him alone. That's fine. I'll just give up on my dreams. And then he starts crying. He says, he needs to learn a strong man can cry. And then the mom is under the table getting a toy and she takes the baby away. And we do hear like a very faint, like, cool, cool, cool from the baby.
That's fine. I mean, this is the streets ahead, streets behind. There's one choice. You can make one of two choices. If there was a middle option this week, I would take it. I think it is by default, it is ahead because it's not like horrible or anything, but like a little miss me with this one, I think.
Is it just streets?
I think it's just a street.
No, there's no just street. It's either ahead or behind.
I know. I'm coming on and I'm introducing a new category.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. I do think it's just a street, but it's also just ahead.
I'm in the same. I think without the tiny detail of the baby saying cool, 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 I honestly think I might go behind.
I'm going to go behind, actually. You know what? I haven't given a streets behind in a really long time. And I think just even like, you know, if I could go, like, makes me feel like I'm behind on this. Troy and Ovid in the end tags, they do better than this. This is fine. This is fine. Now, what was this supposed to be?
Okay. So originally, what was supposed to happen is that Ovid finds Pierce with the thumb drive and he adjusts the code and he puts the thumb drive into a laptop for Pierce. And Pierce is like, it's Pierce's avatar. And he's basically playing catch, like baseball catch, with the giant head of his father. And every time he throws it to his father, he gets a bunch of points. And his dad says, good job, son. And Pierce does this a few times. And then he leans over and he hugs Ovid. And that's the end of the story. Basically, what ended up happening was Chevy Chase decided he was just done for the day. He did not want to film this scene for whatever reason. I don't know if it was he didn't like the scene or he just was tired and wanted to go home, but he refused to film it. They were breaking down the set. That was like their final day of shooting. And so they couldn't get the scene filmed. Dan Harmon was reportedly like super pissed about this because he felt like it was integral to the story they were trying to tell. And so it caused a whole bunch of like a fallout between the two of them. They had a big fight after, I think, like some kind of party. There was like this massive fight between the two of them.
Like so, physical?
I don't think I think it was more like an altercation, not necessarily like a physical fight. But yeah, so basically it was like Dan Harmon got really upset about this. And you know what? Like I don't blame him. I think the original ending is so much better than what we get here. I think it speaks on Pierce's relationship with his father and why he is the way he is, not saying we need to necessarily sympathize with him or, you know, empathize with him. But at the same time, I think it really speaks to that relationship and is such a great, and it also makes sense as to why Ovid takes the flash drive besides wanting Hilda.
Yeah. Cody, do you think this would have been a better way to end this episode?
Yeah, I think that would have been a lot of fun to watch. It reminds me a lot of like the, you know, in Toy Story 2, where Zurg and Buzz were playing together as father and son. Spoiler alert there, if you haven't seen that, or Lightyear. But anyway, it kind of just reminded me of that. But yeah, this sounds like it would be a lot of fun. It would tie into the story. We'd get kind of some follow-up of the flash drive. I want to see more of what happened with the flash drive.
Yeah.
What I would add, though, is like, you can't just bring like a laptop to the study group room and then like refilm the scene there. Like, I know you're dismantling the set,
Yeah.
But couldn't you shoot this on one of the sets you're not going to dismantle?
I don't know.
So there's part of me that's like, they're like, not that like, you know, Chevy Chase, like I'm not out here to like super defend Chevy Chase, but also like the rigidity of like, this needs to be done on this set. Like
if it's not going to work out,
you know, here, there's like probably another path to go.
Certainly. I don't know a ton about like TV sets and everything. I know they have a pretty rigid.
Are we going to be in the study room at all for the rest of the season?
For sure.
Yeah. And like in like a fairly normal capacity, will we see the study room? Like it doesn't have to be like elaborately set.
Yeah, probably.
Then like they're going to have the camera setups for it anyway. This should take terribly long to have Chevy Chase sit in front of a laptop, look down, stand up, hug Abed, and that's the scene, and you just shoot it when you're shooting the finale. It's fine.
Was this filmed in a studio, or was it like Scrubs, or it was actually filmed in a actual building? The show as a whole.
I think
it was a studio, right?
It was in a studio, yeah, because okay. It was yeah. Like they were near Glee. Also, worth noting, actually, maybe counterpoint to that, this was the last episode filmed for season 3. So they didn't have subsequent episodes. So this one, even though it airs before 21 and 22,
that makes
this is the last one.
That makes it hard. Well, then I guess the lesson is film your most important scene first.
Or don't work with people like Chevy Chase, who just like don't want to work with people. That's the thing. Like
maybe you had to go to the bathroom. I don't know.
This isn't the first time that like we've heard like of issues with Chevy Chase on set, right? Like he even got separated from the cast for a lot of the season.
Like he got lost?
Yeah, he just walked away. He was like, oh, I got stuck in a closet
like
somewhere.
Like at a fair? Like, you know, mom. Yeah.
It's just one of those things where, like, he just seems awful to work with. And granted, again, we talked about this on the patron-only podcast. Like, Dan Harmon has even said he's obviously also very difficult to work with. And in some ways, Dan Harmon and Chevy Chase are two sides of the same coin. Yeah, two sides of the same coin. Is that right? And that they're both like self-interested. They're both like very self-centered people. They could be a little bit of egomaniacs. And so like butting heads is kind of natural when you're very similar in that way.
Sure.
But at the same time, like I understand from Dan Harmon's point of view, like he's trying to make the best show he can. And that was a really important scene that completely has to be missed because of an actor refusing to work, basically.
Yeah.
So that sucks. I think the other, I'm glad that we know about this alternate ending, right? Even though we don't get to see it, we can imagine that it would have been wonderful. But yeah, it kind of stinks. But Cody, where do you land on the ending that we do get? Are you a Streets Ahead or are you Streets Behind?
You're going behind, Josh. I think I'm going to go slightly ahead. I'd like to go Streets, if that were a thing.
Not a thing.
I'm gonna go slightly ahead then.
All right. So ultimately it's gonna be Streets Ahead because I am also very, very slightly ahead on this one. It's not like the best, but I don't think it's behind worthy.
Leaning back.
Yeah.
Leaning behind.
But yeah, that's our episode. That's the whole episode.
We've got a little bit of additional feedback in addition to what you had read from Eric earlier in the episode from Riley. Riley thinks this is the most overrated episode of Community. I know that's informing my thoughts from earlier. Riley says, the episode feels out of place in its placement. That's how I feel about the episode as a whole. Feels like a concept episode for the sake of a concept episode after season 2 and how Pierce's reintegration into the group was handled in season 3. I really don't like the attempted redeeming of Pierce. It feels out of character and unearned. I really don't like how the episode treats Abed. He feels like a cartoony version of himself here, falling in love with a video game character. It feels really exaggerated and overdone, especially after Virtual Systems Analysis, where Abed's character was developed quite a bit this season. This feels like a regression. I think that I could sign off on most of that, personally. I haven't seen these final two episodes yet. Would this play better as a final episode of the season? Or not really?
I think it's better served earlier in the season. Yeah, rather than
I think so too.
Yeah, okay.
It's funny though, because Josh, I did listen to the patron version of this podcast earlier today, and Riley obviously had very similar sentiments back then. And you actually disagreed with him the first time around, which is really funny. Because I will say, like, I disagree with Riley here. I think that I don't necessarily think we're trying to redeem Pierce in this episode. I think we're trying to inform a lot of his decisions, like explain his decisions. I don't think that it redeems him as a character in any way, because he's still doing the same like racist nonsense that he always does. It's just instead, you know, saying this is why he does that, right? This is part of why, at the very least. He had a really crappy dad growing up. And you know, you learn a lot from your parents' behavior. Not saying that's an excuse, but it's certainly true for Pierce.
Sure, sure.
And I also very much disagree about how the episode treats Abed. I think that like
I like Abed in this episode. I have no problem with yeah. Abed in this one, yeah. mostly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead, Cody.
I like that this episode can just be watched in a vacuum. It can be watched as a one-off. You don't need to have the context of the rest of the season.
Yes.
I mean, you get some context of the characters, so you know some generalities of the characters, but it's definitely something you can watch as a one-off. And that's why I'm a sucker for these types of things, because I really like to just sometimes just turn an episode on without having to, you know, I have shows on my iTunes that I just have it set up to random, and it'll just pick a play a random, like Big Bang Theory or Friends episode. And I enjoy that. So that's one reason I really like this, is that you can just pick it up and watch it anytime without any other context.
I think I hear that. And I think that's why I probably enjoyed it more the first time I saw it, because it was essentially in a vacuum for me. Right now, I'm trying to see why everyone's so mad about what they do with Chang on the show. Like, I'm trying to enjoy myself.
You're like, but where
here.
Is the Chang?
You know, like, I'm leaning in. Where is the Chang? Absolutely, that's where I'm at. I'm excited that next week is the first Chang dynasty. So that'll be great. But yeah, I think like I'm in the story right now, which is odd because I've talked about in recent weeks, or at least over season three, like I'm taking the episode as it comes. As the episode goes, I really like the episode. As the episode goes within the season, I don't. That's the big difference for me on this round.
Yeah, this episode really does feel like a Josh. I know I'm referencing Down the Hatch again, but like you mentioned, Trisha Tanaka is dead. This feels like that equivalent on Community, where if you take it out of its run, you just watch it. It's a complete vibes episode. Like you're just vibing with the show. I don't necessarily think like no character besides maybe Pierce, obviously, is getting like character progression necessarily, but like I don't need that. Like we have plenty of episodes that are good for that. I think like this totally, like Cody said, you throw it on a random day, it makes your heart like a little warmer. It's great. I love it.
Yeah. April said, I love pixel art because it translates to cross stitch very well, and I remember the early days of Reddit building Journey to Hawkthorne. I downloaded the early versions and remember playing the first few parts because I'm terrible at video games and couldn't get past enemies. All the different costumes people made for the characters based on other episodes are so cool to me, and I've cross-stitched at least three of them. So people tried to turn this into an actual video game, apparently.
Yeah, and apparently April tried to play it. You are, you should become a patron of, obviously, Pusher Recaps for a whole litany of reasons, but one of which is in our Discord, April posted a couple of photos from like them celebrating. She had a friend over to like watch this with. Like, this was a huge event for Community fans because they were doing the back-to-back-to-back episodes. I've seen some of her cross-stitch work too for the characters, and it's really fun. I totally agree. Pixel art works really great for cross-stitch, so I loved this from April.
All right, let's do some meow meows. I was pretty easy this week. Everyone was like kind of like equally good or bad at the video game, I felt like, and everyone had a funny moment. So just being generous, everyone gets a 4 this week. This is kind of lazy, except for Abed, who I gave a 4.5 because he is able to master the video game code. So as far as it goes for me, he gets that extra 0.5. Worth noting, I think this is the same for the two of you. 0 points awarded to Chang or the Dean. Because they aren't.
Yeah, they're not here.
Yep, yep. Cody, what'd you do with your meow meows?
Yeah, I did the same thing. Everyone got a 4. I actually gave Abed a 5 just because he was able to master it. He did a lot more with the video game than I could probably ever do with the video game. So I can appreciate that. I gave Pierce also a 5, which is probably very rare for Pierce to get. I just felt there was, especially with this being a one-off, there was a lot of growth here. He gave the game to
Gilbert.
Yeah. Thank you. Right there. Yeah, so he gave the game to Gilbert, let him have it, and Gilbert's able to go and you know, take Hawkthorne technologies and advance it more than Pierce ever could. So I really appreciated that. But yeah, and then a bagel for Chang and Dean.
Jess, what'd you do?
Yeah, I'm a little higher on everyone else. I really love this episode. I gave mostly everybody fives, except for Pierce, who got a 4.5, just because anytime he's racist,
he brought a gun to the game.
Yeah, he brought a gun, which I don't like guns, and also sure. He said racist stuff. So you know, you get minus points for that, Pierce.
That's fair.
But everybody else gets fives. I thought they were all amazing. I think that everybody has an individual moment to shine in this episode. So even Jeff gets a full five for me, which is also pretty rare. I don't care. I don't usually tend to care for a lot of Jeff.
Digital winger speech. Better than non-digital winger speech?
Nah, I think he's had a lot better speeches than that. Okay, one.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But update on our character rankings. This is really interesting. So Britta still maintains her lead by 7 points. She's still up there. However, tied in second, third, and fourth, I guess all tied for second place, are Troy, Annie, and Abed, which is pretty wild. I don't know that this has happened.
Right now, it feels like it's a race for second place.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got one. Well, we're going to reveal it, I guess. We're doing the next two episodes of Community Season 3 as a single podcast, Jess.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're going to have 10 Meow Meow Beans to award across those two? Or are we combining it as one?
Up to you. What do you want to do?
I think it's probably most fair to do the two episode Meow Meow Beans for consistency's sake. If we were to combine them, then it would be very hard for Britta to lose at this point. She would have to do really poorly in these next two episodes to not be the winner. But with 10 Meow Meows apiece, and it's just going to be you and me on these next two episodes. So I guess 20 Meow Meows total up for grabs. Things could change. Like if Troy and Annie and Abed, if they have like next level episodes and Britta's just a clunker, then she will have been in the lead for a long time, only to Britta.
That would Britta
the final episode of the podcast in season 3. So those are the stakes going into the final season 3 community building episode next week, which will be quite a time here on the internet.
Yeah, and there's quite a big gap between Troy, Annie, and Abed and Jeff, who's next with, 17 points below?
The winner is going to be one of Britta, Troy, Annie, or Abed. There really isn't another option. I think mathematically, it's not possible for it to be anybody else at this point. But it is mathematically possible for Britta to Britta this still.
Which I really like, honestly.
really let's not make synergy. This a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it is a possibility.
Yeah.
All right, Dean's List point. Sadly, no Garrett, so no Garrett to give Dean's List point to this time around. Jess, you went for Hilda?
I did. She deserved a shout out. She lost both her parents in a freak fire. Yes. She's part of the reason they saved the day. She produced a lot of Abed babies to help out.
Yes.
And so I just felt like she earned it, you know? Give her some credit.
I'm giving it to Gilbert. I'm easy. I see Gus Fring. I give Gus Fring a point. Fair. Yeah.
Can I split my votes?
This is not how this works, Cody. You know the rules, and you know I'm a stickler, and I'm not going to let you do that. You got to pick one.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to go with Hilda then on mine. I want to give the 8-bit character her due. Did the babies remind you a lot of like Temple of Doom?
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's some Temple of Doom vibes there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hilda. Hilda has 2 points on this list now. Okay. Good for Hilda. Mm-hmm. She went through quite a journey in this episode.
She birthed so many babies.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
So many.
That's Control C, Control V.
And she knows everything.
A lot of copy pasta. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So rating the episode in the cools. Jess, you already said you're a full 4 on this one. I'm a little lower, but not by much. I'm a 3.7. I really liked the episode quite a bit. I really enjoyed this episode. I think it just gets dinged a little bit for me in placement. Jess, as we always say, to paraphrase down the hatch, community building meets you where you are. Where it met me this week is like, I wanted to like get back into the story this time around. So
we should have had you watch this at like 3 a.m. and then
I know I did watch it earlier today. I wasn't zany enough. Oh. Yeah, wasn't feeling loopy enough.
It's okay.
Cody, what did you do?
I gave it a 3.97. I would have given it a 4, but I wanted to ding it a little bit just to have the decimals in there. I'm going to throw chaos into it a little bit.
Yeah, we love the chaos.
Yeah.
The royal we.
Certainly love chaos.
Yes.
What they say about me.
Yes.
So laid back and relaxed.
The audience is a 3.75. Okay, so I don't feel terribly off from the pulse of the nation.
No,
here.
Here's the thing. I'm not used to feeling like the one who is so different from how the audience feels, and I don't like it. I like to be in line with the audience. I love to be voice of the people. And I don't feel like voice of the people this week. I feel like I'm much higher on this episode than most of the people. Although I will say, plenty of people who did send in fours. So it's not that. It's just because we need, you know, send in your scores. The less, again, it's math. The less data we have, the more each data point counts. So, but yeah. So current
community at postshowrecaps.com. That's community at postshowrecaps.com.
So currently standing at a 3.85 overall for this episode, which is going to put it just narrowly above Curriculum Unavailable, our last episode. It is fifth overall out of 20 episodes currently.
Okay. Cody, does this feel right? Is this a top five episode of season three for you?
I think so. Kind of looking at the top five or the remedial chaos theory, that's obviously one of the greatest episodes on Community. Pillows of Blankets, Lupine Urology, which I'm glad you all explained that one when you all came on, because that made perfect sense when you explained it. So
yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. You know, I'm just sitting over here like Dodoy. I have no idea what's going on.
And then regional holiday music. Yeah, I think that's a proper placement for it.
Yeah, I think so too. Like if I had my way, maybe I would even. I still think I might have it in the placement that it's at number five, but I would maybe bump up the average to like a 3.9. You know what I mean? Have it a little bit of a tighter race between this and regional holiday music.
Sure.
But I'm picking nits here.
Okay, well, top five. We'll see if either of the final two episodes is able to get close. That's what we're going to do next week. We are going to watch both the first Chang Dynasty as well as Introduction to Finality as the next episode of Community Building as we wrap season three, which is all we promised to do back in the day when we launched Community Building in the first place. So is this an Introduction to Finality in its own right, Jess? To be continued, .. We will see what happens next week. Cody, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you? Remind everybody what you got going on. Do all the stuff.
Absolutely. So I'm on Twitter at Cody L. Patterson. You can also find our podcast on Twitter at AGT Time Pod or our website, AGT Time. Again, we just finished season 17 of America's Got Talent. We had the second place finisher on our podcast last week. So that was real exciting. My co-host Jay and I got to go see some America's Got Talent live and in person. So we talked about our experience going and doing that. He actually got to go see a live taping. I went and saw the show in Vegas. So that was a lot of fun. A few weeks ago, we had the great Sarah Ferguson on as a co-host. So she did great as well. And then again, we're getting ready to resume our season four rewatch. So if you're a fan of America's Got Talent and you want to follow us along, please follow us. We'd really, really appreciate that.
Amazing.
Also, I'll be on Boy Meets World, I think, next week.
Yes. That's synergy, baby.
Great segue to tell us what kind of shit the 90s is teaching you and anything else you got on PSR right now.
Yeah, so lately, honestly, the 90s is teaching me that Topanga has terrible, terrible fashion sense in bridesmaid dresses. Like, truly horrific. Like, I need to bleach my brain to not ever think about the bridesmaid dresses she picked out again. But for Dawson's Creek, we're learning all about the college years. And, you know, you need to do what it means to be sexiled. We're learning about that. So just a whole lot going on over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Follow us at Shit 90s Pod. We have a ton of bonus content coming up. Goofy Movie 2. And then, of course, we're getting into October. So spooky season it is. And then, of course, you can also hear me covering Reboot here on Post Show Recaps, the new Hulu sitcom. Really, really enjoying that show. Much more than I thought I would. It's a really fun sitcom. Reviews have been kind.
Yeah, people really like it.
The cast is really, really good. And even some of the stuff that wasn't necessarily working for me in the first few episodes, I feel like they're course correcting in episode four. So really enjoying that, covering that with Adam H. over on that podcast. And we're having so much fun. We're getting on all sorts of tangents, but it is a great time.
I believe it.
So check out that podcast too.
Awesome. Super fun. Plenty of stuff happening here on Post Show Recaps. Follow at Post Show Recaps on Twitter. You won't miss a single thing. And of course, subscribe subscribe to Post Show Recaps wherever you get your podcasts. You could subscribe to the community building feed only if all you want is community, or you could subscribe to the main feed. You'll get every single episode of everything. Ratings and reviews greatly appreciated as well. You want to get episodes of community building early? You could sign up at the Patreon, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon or patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level you like. With all of that said, next week, a double tap on the first Chang Dynasty and introduction to finality, a double header as we close out season three and perhaps community building forever. We'll see. I don't know. Anyway, Corey B, take us away.
This is a show in season three. If you didn't know, we included the Dean, Wiggler, and Jess. Here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, Greendale, with all of our